Good to see you guys. Just playing a little bit of music before we get started.
Your mercy never fails me.
Good morning, Shannon. I saw you on there. All right, one more prelude song, and then we'll get started. It's one of Jake's favorites, so Jake, this one's for you, for anybody else who wants it.
My fears that I no more may doubt the love.
to Cornerstone live stream. Just one second, I'm going to click share this to my page. You guys can do that too if you want. But we are getting ready to get started. This is not your normal Sunday, right? You might have not expected to meet me in my living room, but here we are. So welcome. Welcome to the living room. One of our kids is being tested for COVID right now, so our family is laying low until we get our results back. So everybody's doing okay. Everybody's doing fine. Everybody's here in the living room. We're all joining together in the living room while you guys join from yours. So from my living room to yours, welcome. My wife's phone is dinging. She's going to turn on silent right now. All right. Well, I want to start 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Some of you guys have been aware of things that have been going on, but I want to remind you of a truth that's really important for us right now. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, says the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And I read that today because we have a member of our body who's hurting a lot right now. Many of you are aware, many of you have been involved with this already this week. Are we okay? But many of you already heard this, but if you haven't, AJ, her husband, Angel, passed away on Thursday after an intense battle with cancer. He's not with us anymore. And none of us are ready for this. It was far too soon. He's far too young. But especially AJ was not ready for this. You can't be ready for something like this. So the body's hurting right now. She's hurting, we're hurting. And some of you have been doing a great job hurting with her. But I also see this body rallying to support in ways that are really, really good. It's been so encouraging to see some amazing friends just wrap themselves around AJ, the twins, and Mary. And for so many of you who may not be as close to give and support, there's a GoFundMe that's on my Facebook that a lot of people have been giving towards and contributing to. So thank you. And I just want to pray. I just want to pray right now for AJ, her family. And we're adjusting to this. My sound technician is doing a fantastic job right now, fixing things as they go wrong. But can we pray together in spite of the barrier? You're with us in your living room, and we can pray together. So let's just pray for our sister. God, we want to stop right now and lift up our sister, AJ, before your throne. God, she's in need of your mercy. She's in need of your help. Isaac and Hannah, as they process together through a change they did not ask for and were not looking for. God, this is a really difficult season, but together we can share the burden. And I thank you so much for those who are doing that. Thank you that your body is functioning as it's intended to. And it is lightening the burden. It's not taking it away, but it is making it more bearable. So show each of us how we can do that. How we can be your body in a time of pain for one of our dear sisters. And God, thank you for putting us in this body together, bringing AJ into it with us and her family, into this church family. And I just pray that you'll help them during this difficult, difficult time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So that's not the first step into 2021 we were hoping for. So I want to start with a reminder and a song that just reminds us and emphasizes the fact that Jesus is our cornerstone. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. We've got a worship team together, and we're going to sing In Christ Alone. And I hope these lyrics can just kind of soak into you, and you can be encouraged by them. Apologize for the screen, but the screen's about to get better in just one second. Thank you, Karis. Anything? gonna sing again in a little bit. But now we're gonna jump into the content of what we're looking at doing today. I don't know if you were surprised to look out the window, but I was not expecting this snow. I love it. I love snow. And it's good to just kind of sit safely in our living rooms, and we can safely come together. So if you're with us on Facebook, feel free to say hello in the comments. Looks like, oh, I see Melissa, I see Wanda. All right, doing the same song up in Vermont. Sue, hey, good morning, Sue. Well, friends, welcome to 2021. Some of us have been looking forward to a new year more than in previous years, and we're here. Realistically, we know that things are not going back to normal just because it's a new year. But we still kind of hold on to some hope that it's going to be better than 2020. I'm hoping for that. But really, no matter what happens in 2021, Christ is still our cornerstone. He is our cornerstone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. So I've got my family, 6 of us here in the living room, and the rest of you guys are online. So I'm going to try to do this. It's a little different for me. I'm not accustomed to this sort of thing. But anyway, most of you know, we've been talking about this for weeks. We are beginning a one-year journey through, let's see if I can see these slides. We're taking a one-year journey through the New Testament. And we've been talking about this for a while. I really, really hope that you choose to join us on this journey. I know some of you have already told me you're excited about this, you're ready to do it. And I'm just convinced it's going to be good for your soul if you join us on this journey. It's going to make us stronger as a church. And when I say join us, I'm not talking about joining the live stream every Sunday. That's not what I mean. I'm not talking about when we can meet in person, you come to church service. That's not what I mean. When I say join us, I mean you're going to read through the New Testament. You're going to read it. 5 chapters a week will get you through the whole thing in exactly a year. So we've got a reading guide. I think I have a slide for that. Let's see if this thing works. Yes, it does work. These are the physical ones, so hopefully we'll be meeting in person next week. We'll talk about that at the end of the service today. We got reading guides that are printed. They are actually attached to our website. You can download a copy and print it out. But for every week, there's 5 chapters all the way through the New Testament. So I think Shannon's going to post a link there on our Facebook as well if you're with us that way. But that's available. That's where we're starting right now today. This is going to be an introduction to get us ready. We're going to discuss the readings in home groups as they start up again next week, not this week, but next week. And hopefully on Sundays throughout this year, I'm going to provide some helpful guidance for the journey. And we'll talk about things that I've learned from the 5 chapters. And hopefully you're going to have learned some things. And we'll just all be in the same stuff throughout the year. We talk about immerse, fuse, radiate. See if I can, I don't think you can actually see that on the live stream, but immerse, fuse, radiate is our strategy for growing healthy Christians. And journeying through the New Testament, that's going to be our main emphasis of immerse. It's so important that we do that. And especially in the time that we're in, we need to be immersing ourselves in Scripture. So, by the way, if you're deep into another Bible study right now, we're not asking you to stop that or abandon that. But I am asking as many as are available and want to join us on this journey. Because the more of us do this together, the more beneficial it'll be for you and for everybody. So if you're in the middle of something, work on that, finish that up. You can jump into this journey with us at any point in the process. I know some of your personality doesn't allow that, but you can jump in the middle if you want. You don't have to catch up at any point. Just jump in and join us. So for today, what I want to do, I want to gear us up for this journey. So I have 3 provisions that I want to just provide you. I want to help us gear up for this journey with 3 provisions. And here's what they are. First one is a simple structure for Bible study. Just a simple structure that can help you better comprehend, better benefit from what you're reading. We don't want to just read to read. We don't want to just be able to say, I read through the New Testament. We want to really benefit from this. We need to tip it a little bit. Got it later. Hold on. Technical difficulties. This way?
Yeah, right. Okay, that's good.
Okay. Perfect. I have a tech crew behind me. They're doing everything. They're amazing. Okay, so where were we? Simple structure for Bible study. We want you to get the most out of this. So I have a tool for you that could help you get more out of your daily reading. Because you don't want to just do it to do it. You don't want it to be boring or dry. The second provision I want to give you is I want to set the stage for the first week of reading. We're jumping into Matthew. I'm going to talk to you today about a few things to look for. What to look for in the Gospel of Matthew and what to watch for as you read. And then the last thing we're going to do today is a practice run with Matthew 1. Has a ring to it, right? Practice run with Matthew 1. This is where I hope to get some interaction today. I've got my phone here, and I'm hoping you're going to be texting me because I'm going to ask you some questions and want to hear from you. So we're not physically together in person, and it's actually easier to text than to actually answer in public. So maybe my family and kids are going to be saying something in public this morning, but probably not. So I've got some shaking heads. But you and they can send me a text, even from our own living room. But I'm going to ask some questions. Hopefully we can interact. And so I really believe God has some good plans for us in this journey. And so let's just pray right now for this journey ahead. God, we are launching into a study of your word. We are pursuing a better understanding of the New Testament. And I know some people listening right now have never actually read all the way through the New Testament. Some people have many times. But Lord, I pray that this will be beneficial for everybody who does this. And even those who are maybe not officially part of our church family, that they would join in this too. Print out the reading guide and jump into this. God, that you would transform us through this time. God, open our hearts to what you have for us now and throughout this coming year. In Jesus' name. All right, so we're starting with a simple structure for better Bible study. If you're probably aware of this already, but the Bible is not exactly hot off the press. This has been around a while. Some of you have read it a lot of times. Some of you only read portions of it. God doesn't want reading the Bible to be an academic exercise only. He doesn't want to just fill our heads with knowledge. The purpose of God's word is to guide us, to teach us and change us. Help us become more like Jesus, and really ultimately to deepen our union with God. That's what he wants to do. So are those kind of things that you want? I hope they are. If you've been reading the Bible for a while, you know that kind of thing doesn't happen automatically. You can just read the Bible and not get anything out of it. It takes energy on our part. We have to invest ourselves in it. We have to open ourselves up to it. We got to engage our mind and our heart in the process. So I want to help you with that. You want your soul to be open to what God has for you. And I can't do that for you. I can do nothing to open your soul. That's on you. But what I can do is give you a tool to help you engage with God's word in a way that's more meaningful, possibly, if that's what you want. So here's the tool. This is an acrostic that's going to give you four things to be watching for as you engage in God's word. There's nothing fancy about it. It's just a simple tool. An acrostic, the word is CHIP. And CHIP itself means nothing. It's the four words. That's what we want. And CHIP stands for four things. See if I can put it up here. It stands for curious, hopeful, important, and personal. And my hope is you're going to remember all four of those things today. Curious, hopeful, important, and personal. It's just a memory tool. But what is this about? Curious. Why would we talk about curious? When we're digging into God's word, you want to be curious. So what is it about this passage that makes me curious? You want to ask questions. Let your mind wonder about what you're reading. Ask questions. And as you ask questions, some questions you're going to want to pursue. Pursue the answers. Some questions you might not decide to pursue. That's fine. Some answers you'll find. Some you won't. But let yourself get curious about the Bible. Don't just read it. Dig. The second word is hopeful. Hopeful. As you're reading, ask yourself, this is important, where do I find hope? Where do I find hope in this chapter? And write this stuff down. We're starting the journey right now, and I'd encourage you, get a notebook, something to track this journey. A notebook would be a really helpful tool to just document this thing. Questions you ask along the way, things, insights God gave you, the hope that you clung to. And writing stuff down helps in two ways. Helps you remember what you read, and you can go back to it later.
be encouraged again. So 2021, we need to know where to look for hope. We're not looking to the media. We're not looking to the government. You might have gotten a stimulus check. Ours is pending. It's coming into our account. That's not where our hope is found. Our hope is in Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Our hope is in God's faithful love for us. So remind yourself of that as you read. Where do I find hope? So curious, hopeful. What's the third word? Important. Important. What's important for me to remember? Not every detail of Scripture is equally important. As you read, ask God to show you, what do you want me to remember? What do you want me to notice? What do you want me to notice about you, God? About myself? About the gospel? What do you want me to realize? What do you want me to understand? Or what do you want me to do? What's important for you to know, to do, about God, whatever? So let those truths into you. Ask God to show you and give you understanding. And the truth is, some realities about God, some of the things that we know about God from the Bible, can absolutely liberate an imprisoned soul. God wants to do that as you take this journey. So take notes on what you think is important for you to know and understand from the passage. So those are three things: curious, hopeful, important. The last word is personal. And personal, where does it get personal for me? This passage, God's word is not just God's word for all people for all time. It's for you. God wants to communicate with you through his word. So as you process through curious, hopeful, and important, we end with personal because it has to go there. But you don't want to rush there. I tend to rush there sometimes. I want to just jump right to the personal, and sometimes you misapply Scripture. You want to stop and think about it. You want to ask questions. You want to ponder it and really understand it, and then go to the personal. God, what do you want me to understand from this? What do you want me to do differently? So dig in as you go and think about those four words. God is going to challenge you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you hope. And this time, God, the reason Jesus came, the reason God gave us his word, is to get personal with us. He wants to get close to us. We're going to talk about that as we get into Matthew 1 today. So invite God in as you go. So, four words. The acrostic is CHIP. You remember what the words are? See if you can remember them before I even say them. First word starts with a C. Curious. Second word starts with an H. Hopeful. My family's mouthing it. The third word starts with an I. Important. And the last word starts with a P. All right, my family's remembering it. Hopefully you guys are too. Good job, family. Good job, everybody else. Curious, hopeful, important, personal. You think you can remember that? Might be a good idea to write it on the back of your Bible reading plan. If you have one of those, if you haven't printed it out yet, print it out. Write those four words on the back. All right, that's the first provision for the journey. Just a tool. Second provision for the journey. Where are we going next? Sorry, I got to get through my slides. All right, second thing we're going to do, we're going to set the stage for the first week of reading. We're going to talk about Matthew. So if you've seen the reading guide, if you looked at it, it doesn't go straight through from beginning to end. We've broken up the four Gospels throughout the year so that we can read the account of Jesus' life throughout the whole year, not just right at the beginning. So we move things around, but we're starting in Matthew. So what do we need to know about Matthew? Matthew's the author. He's the one who wrote it. He was one of Jesus' 12 apostles, right? So what that tells us is this is a firsthand account of Jesus' life. Matthew saw most of what he wrote about. He's a witness. He wasn't a witness of Jesus' birth. He wasn't there then. But he came along later, and he saw so many things, and he documented them himself. So that's Matthew. He's the writer. He was previously a tax collector. That means people see him as a bit of a traitor to the Jewish people. The Jews didn't like tax collectors. They worked for the Roman government. So they were traitors to the Jewish people. And yet Jesus chose him and loved him. Jesus accepted Matthew and called him to become one of his closest followers and friends. So as we're looking for hope, there's some hope right there. Justin, who wrote this book, this is encouraging. God chooses unlikely people like us. Another thing about Matthew, he's a Jew writing to Jews about a Jew. Matthew is a Jew writing to Jews about a Jew. That's why it's the first of the four Gospels. Matthew is a link between the Old and New Testament. And so Matthew, you're going to find Matthew spent a lot of time quoting Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. So watch for that. And as you look at that, we realize Christianity did not have to become a separate religion. Jesus was the promised Messiah for the Jews and the Gentiles. So watch for those quotes. He is the Jewish Messiah. Matthew's goal is to prove to the Jewish people that Jesus is their Messianic King. So watch for those Old Testament quotes and watch for kingdom language. Jesus talks a lot about his kingdom, and Matthew wants you to know Jesus is king. He is king, but he's not the kind of king, and it's not the kind of kingdom that they thought they needed. They didn't need freedom from the Romans nearly as badly as they needed, and release us from the grip of our sin nature. That's good news. So watch for kingdom language in Matthew. Take notice of what kind of kingdom Jesus speaks about. And so that's Matthew. That's a little bit to look for. And that's the second provision for this journey. Here's the third provision. We're going to do a practice run with Matthew 1. So are you ready for this? This is where I need you to get your phone out. Get ready to text me. Open up Matthew chapter 1. It's the first book in the New Testament. All right, practice run, Matthew 1. What are the four things we're looking for again? We're looking for curious. What makes me curious? Where do I find hope? What's important to remember? And where does it get personal? Things that are important. Write that in next to important. But just kind of practice this as we get ready to jump into the New Testament over this next year. So, yeah, let's progress through here. I got my... We got some technical difficulties. I apologize for that. Is there anything we need to do?
There's nothing we can do about it, so I don't know why you're talking about it.
It's okay. But if responses are slow, the internet is...
Okay. Our internet is having some issues, so it is what it is, but we'll do the best we can. So hopefully you can see my cell phone number up there. I got my phone right here. If you have responses, I would love to hear them from you. So I'm going to read the whole chapter, Matthew chapter 1, and you can start filling in those things: curious, hopeful, important, and personal. Matthew chapter 1. And if I'm cutting out, if you got a Bible with you, you can read Matthew yourself. But here it is, Matthew 1, verse 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon. Any volunteers to read these names? Anyway, I'll try to work through it. Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Ammon, the father of Josiah, Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud, Abiud, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim, the father of Azor, Azor, the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Achim, Achim, the father of Eliad, Eliad, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Mathan, Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. We just read the genealogies from Abraham to Jesus. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. What are you curious about in this chapter? Just send me a text with any questions that come to your mind from Matthew chapter 1. And by the way, if you send me a text, I will share your first name unless you put the word anonymous before your answer. If you put anonymous and spell it correctly, then I will not share your... I'm sorry, you don't have to spell it correctly. But if you say anonymous, I won't use your name. But if you do, that'll maybe bring us together a little bit and we can know who's here and who's having insights and what they want to share. So, what questions do you have? I'll share a couple of mine as you're thinking about it and as Facebook is catching up and you're beginning to process. One of my questions, why does Matthew begin with a genealogy right at the beginning of this book? That's not exactly a gripping start. If you're trying to read something, it's not the way we would typically start a book. And you might feel bored as you read through this, name after name after name. But remember Matthew's point. He wants to show the Jews that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. So he starts the book by documenting his lineage. It was super important to the Jewish people. They need to know Jesus is from the line of David because that had to be the case if he's going to be the Messiah. So it might feel boring to us, but it was pretty important to them. Another question for me is, and maybe you wondered about this too, did you notice all the women listed in this genealogy? So my question is, why does Matthew break the cultural norm to include so many women in the genealogies of Jesus? It seems a little bit out of place, but at the same time, it seems kind of purposeful. If you've read any other genealogies in the Bible, they list usually just men. One man had a son who 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 had a son. But in this one, Jesus' lineage, we find Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, we have Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. All these people, these women are included, and they're included kind of as a pause in the record. Oh, by the way, this was the mother. This was the woman here. Why did he mention that? Because they matter. He gives special honor to these women. And each of these women has a story you can read in the Old Testament, and really are stories of brokenness. There's murder, there's rape, there's prostitution, all part of Jesus' lineage. Jesus entered a very broken world through a broken lineage. And these women and their stories are not what you'd expect to find in the lineage of a great king. And rather than hiding them, God wants to highlight them. These women are given great honor by God. And it reminds us Jesus didn't come for those who are well. He didn't come for the rich, for the mighty. He came for the broken. He came for the needy. He came for those who knew they were sick and needed someone to make them well. And if you notice, there are two Gentile women in Jesus' Jewish lineage. There are Gentiles, non-Jews. Read the story of Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. Jesus didn't come only for the Jews. He came for all of us. So those are a couple of my questions. What about you? What made you curious for Matthew chapter 1? I got a couple texts here. Shannon says, I'm curious, intrigued by there being 14 generations from Abraham to David. 14 from David to Babylon, 14 to Christ. Why 14? It's a good question. I don't actually have the answer for you there. That might be something to look up. Or maybe my wife knows. She knows a lot more than I do.
People that it makes a jump from a great-grandfather to his great-grandson, so they're not direct, but probably because it was easier to memorize, and that's how they passed it down. So These are the 14 that he chose to highlight here, and this is a major historical marker to give it.
Hey,
are we back?
Yeah.
Sorry about that pause, guys. That was a long pause. Apparently, we're back. Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. People jump back on as we go. Sorry about that. Hopefully, we won't have to do this too much more. All right. Let's see what else. We've got... How much of Anne's answer did they hear?
Almost all of it.
Okay. So you got to hear Anne's answer. That's a good answer. There are some gaps in the genealogical record, but they were going to memorize these, and these are the ones they highlighted to remember to memorize this. Let's see. What else do we have? Why did he divide the genealogy in three parts? I think that also was to remember, and there are key points in Israel's history. David, the exile, those are really important breaks and reminders of what God's people had been through. They've been through some highs and they've been through some lows. Here's a curious. Was the angel that appears to Joseph Gabriel? I believe it was, but we don't know for sure. Gabriel too appears to Mary. Pretty sure he's the guy who was in charge of getting this message across. Sarah says, curious about looking into some of the names in the genealogy, what they mean in their original language, like Salmon, for example. Curious also if genealogy lineage research was something that just Jewish people were interested in at the time, or if it was all people. The Jews were especially interested in it. I'm not sure if other people at the time were, but the Jewish people certainly were big time. I wonder if the 14 correspond with the generation sections in Genesis, tying them together. I don't have an answer to that either. Good questions. All right, this one is from Mandy. Would the people have had a record of all those ancestors? I know that we do, but would the common reader have access to this information back then? Also, my internet just cut out too. All right, thanks, Mandy. Yes, they would have had records, but the people wouldn't have had a copy. Like, we have Bibles. That would have been kept in the temple. They would have kept those records on scrolls. So you could go to the priest, and you could have access to it. I don't think you could check these out like a library, but you could find out. You would hear them read occasionally as it came up. So yes, they would have had access to them to some degree. Jake, not as familiar with all the names from exile to Jesus. Who are all these people? Some of them you can read their stories. Some of them are pretty obscure. We don't know much about a lot of them. But some of them we do. You can read Kings and Chronicles, and you can read some of the stories. Some of these people were pretty solid, pretty righteous and upright. Some of them were pretty wicked, pretty evil. Good. All right. I think we worked through the questions that I can see here. Those are good questions. Keep asking questions. Hopefully, we won't cut out anymore. Let's see if I find my spot here. Let's move on to hope. Where do you find hope in Matthew chapter 1? We've been talking about the genealogies a lot already. I find hope in the genealogies. Just looking at God's purpose unfolding generation after generation, and it's all leading somewhere, and they can see how this all led to Christ. These from Abraham, God chose him, to David, and all these people in between, their lives all mattered. And it talks about the exile. The exile was a horrible, horrible time. We can't fathom what that would have been like, to be uprooted from your land and taken away to a people that hate you, they don't speak your language, and they put you in slavery. That's a horrible time, but they got through it. And you can read this quickly, and they made it through that. Now they've reached, in Matthew 1, the time of the long-awaited Messiah. So where else do you find hope in Matthew chapter 1? Most of you found your way back on here. I can see. Where do you find hope? Corey says she finds hope that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And we get to look forward to being with him one day. I think that's huge. God with us. Think about how Jesus changed the nature of God with us. Before Jesus came, God kept his distance. You couldn't get close to God. You could come to the temple, you could offer a sacrifice, but only the high priest could get close to God, and even he was kept at a distance. Now Jesus moves into our world in a brand new way. And think about this. After Jesus left, what happened next? The Holy Spirit comes. And now, not just is God moving into our world, but he's moving into us. And so God keeps moving closer and closer to us. We just finished talking about the end times and Jesus' return. It's going to get even better than the Holy Spirit in us. We're going to be with God and see him face to face. He keeps moving closer. That's huge. What else do we have? Ethan says, hopeful, he will save his people from their sins. Absolutely. That is hopeful. And the more you understand who you are and your own brokenness and your need for him, the more hopeful that is. My dad says, call his name Jesus. He will save us from our sins. Amen. Amen. That is hopeful. Let's see. Shannon. So much hope in seeing God's promise to Abraham come to fruition in the Gospels. So thankful to be able to see that promise fulfilled. Good. Good stuff. Nobody mentioned the prophecy yet. I'll mention that. I guess I'm attuned to that. But verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. I guess someone was talking about the promise being fulfilled. But this prophecy in Isaiah, verse 23, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. And they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Just that God told us all about this so long before it happened. That is hopeful. God knows what he's doing. Pretty sure he still knows what he's doing. Rick. God didn't avoid sinners. Like, through the lineage, there were sinners in there. He came through sinners to save sinners. He truly understands our plight. Good hope. That is good. Good stuff. So I'll just click through. I had a couple. The divine intervention we see, fulfilled prophecies, Jesus' purpose, and his names. These are hopeful. There's a lot of hope in Matthew chapter 1. Even though most of it's a list of genealogies, there's a lot of hope in here. All right, let's go to the next thing. What's important? What's important for us to remember? What do you think is important that we remember in Matthew chapter 1? Should we memorize all these genealogies? I don't think we need to. I'm probably not going to have our family memorize all those names, even though the Jewish people did. My daughter's glaring at me. No, we're not going to memorize those names. But what is important for us to remember in this? And some of this spills over from the hope and from the curious. What's important? There's a bit of a pause because of Facebook. That's okay. We'll still get out roughly on time today, I think. Ethan, important. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that is important. How this happened. The way that I worded that one is the purity of Joseph and Mary's relationship. This really did happen by the Holy Spirit. This wasn't... Don't let the naturalists try to explain away the fingerprints of God. There's something divine that happened here. Mary did not get pregnant through Joseph. She got pregnant through the Holy Spirit. God did something here. He kept his promise that he had told us in Isaiah. That's important. And as we think about the supernatural stuff, we don't explain that away and say it must have happened a different way. God is here. God's fingerprints are all over the place. And that's our hope, that God is with us. All right, I got some more that have come in. Shannon, it's important that Joseph did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. That's for sure. Man, what if he didn't? An angel showed up to make sure that he did. Dad, God leads both Joseph and Mary, so they follow in unity. Boy, that could have been really difficult, and it was awkward. Let's see, Mandy, hope and possible connection. Joseph was respectful and merciful when he thought Mary had cheated. Later, Jesus showed mercy to a woman who was about to be stoned for promiscuity. Although Joseph was his adopted father, perhaps he still had a positive influence on Jesus' upbringing. That's good. That's good. And Joseph's response to this is very honorable. He's a righteous man, and he's a good man. And as you think about how he could have responded, I'm really glad he responded the way he did, and thankful for the angel's influence to tell him that it's okay. Jake said, remember that Jesus is here. And we don't have to get to God through the Old Testament law. All this, the stuff that was so difficult, Jesus came and said, I'm with you. Sarah, important, all the details. God's in the details of life and has been throughout the entire story of redemption. Yeah, all the details, all the details of the genealogy, we can remember that God cares about those little details. Details of our lives. Brian, God is faithful. His plans are unchangeable. He is steadfast. We see that here. We see God's faithfulness. Rick, common folks like us are the ones God usually uses for his greatest work. Right? And Mary, she didn't think she was anything special, but she was noticed by God. That is important. Sometimes we write ourselves off. Let's see. Dad, Joseph was a godly man to raise Jesus. Yeah, there's a lot of important stuff here. And just a couple that I had said, Jesus' lineage, noticing that he came from Abraham to David to Jesus, that's important. His purpose, he will see.
Okay,
brief pause again. So we talked about curious, we talked about hopeful, we talked about important. Now about the personal. This is really important too. Where does it get personal for me? And one thing I would ask is, when he says he will save his people from their sins, a question that I would really think about, that I did think about, is how do I need Jesus' rescue? How do I need Jesus' rescue? And you can think about how does it get personal for you? And you can share that if you want, but maybe there'll be less sharing on this one. That's okay. But how do I need Jesus' rescue? How do I need him to save me from my sins? And I get daily reminders of ways that I still need rescue. I have been rescued. I have been forgiven. We've been saved. We've been forgiven of our sin. We've been given eternal life through faith in Jesus. We still need rescue every day. And so I thought about that question for me, and I deal with worry, especially in this season and this time and all these changes. And worry is trusting myself instead of God. And I worry when I come up short, when I'm not able to do what I want to do, when I feel insecurity. And worry is sin. It's doubting God. It's not trusting him when I'm trusting myself instead. That's not good. That's not what God wants for me. Anger's another one. I still need to be rescued from. We're stopping again.
There you go.
Okay. And it's not hard for me to get irritated with my family sometimes. I need rescue. And not all anger is sinful, but most of our anger is. So that's me. I still need rescue from Jesus. I don't know if you have any that you want to share, but where does it get personal for you? As you look at Matthew 1, we've talked about things that are curious, things that are hopeful, things that are important. What do you need? What does God want to say to you? I'm reminded through this passage that God keeps his promises. One of his biggest promises to be with us. And I don't want to talk about this a lot, but some of us have been walking with AJ through this really difficult time. God promises, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. And sometimes he uses us to be that presence too, that we can represent God and we can be part of his presence with others. I look at the situation with Mary and I see that God's ways are not always conventional. It's not always what you'd expect. It's not always just the normal path. So we got to be ready to flex with his unconventional ways. Having a church service from my living room into yours is one of those examples, but there's some others that are much more difficult, things that happen that we're not expecting. God's ways are not always conventional. And if God worked that way in Bible times, what makes us think he's not going to do that today? This was mentioned already, but God is interested in the details. He really is. From Jesus' genealogy to the moment-by-moment details in my own life. He cares about all that. Every detail. And then the last one for me, with God, anything is possible. What happened to Mary was impossible, but it wasn't. And when I say anything is possible, that doesn't mean anything will happen. You dream it, it'll happen. But God can accomplish anything he says he's going to do. Because he's God. And he stepped into our world with divine power. So, that's a practice run with Matthew 1. Curious, hopeful, important, personal. So, after that little practice run, what do you think? Are you ready to step into the next four chapters in Matthew this week? We did the first one already. You can skip that if you want, or you can read it again. But next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the first five chapters of Matthew. I'm just going to share some of the things that I learned in my time in these chapters, but we will not cover it all. So do your own digging. Dig into these chapters and see what God has to teach you this week. Let the journey begin. Let it begin now. We always do next steps, and so I'm going to give you a minute to think about, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And then we've got a song we're going to close with. But next steps, some options, join this journey. Start Matthew 1-5 today. Get a hold of a journal, something to track this journey. Maybe for you, you haven't been in a home group, or maybe you have, but join a home group. They're starting next week, and be part of the discussion, the interaction. We had some really good interaction, a lot better than could have been, but thank you for those of you who participated in that. And home groups are going to be different. It'll be by Zoom or in person, and the interaction will be better than by text. And maybe there's something else that God is prompting you. But I'm just going to give a pause right now and let you think about, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do this week as I move forward? God, I pray that you'll take us right from where we are and move us into this year with courage and with insight that comes from you and your word. God, give us the courage and the discipline to jump into this and to do this together and to grow by it, to be changed by it. God, we invite your spirit to do a work in our hearts as we begin this journey together. Thank you for your word. There is so much hope. And I pray that you will fill us with hope as we open it this week. And God, just remind us of how good you are and how faithful you are to us. You have not forgotten us, and you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, we're going to sing King of Kings together to close out. You came running. There was
So, in Shannon's place, I'll just share some what's going on kind of stuff as we wrap up. Just next steps, just really encourage you to really consider, if you haven't decided yet, to jump into this journey through the New Testament with us. Print a copy of that Bible reading guide. Start the journey this week. Start it today. Start tomorrow. This week, 5 chapters. Home groups starting up next week. We'd love for you to jump in. We've got 3 groups, 2 in person, 1 Zoom. So just let me know if you want to be part of that, and we'll get you connected. COVID update. What is going on with COVID? We've been virtual for the last several weeks, and we've been telling you January 10th, we start in person. Is it going to be January 10th? I can't tell you, because we have to find out how the COVID test comes back at our house. So if it comes back positive, we'll probably be like this one more time. But if it's negative, and we will let you know, watch your email, watch our website, we'll let you know what's going on for next week. Hopefully, those of you who want to be in person, who are ready to do that, can be in person, and we'll have both options again. That's our hope, 9 o'clock at Bethel Church, and this, the way we've done it today, through live stream. Hopefully, we'll have both options, but we will let you know, and our desire is moving forward to be able to have both options for you for a good long time. So one way or another, you've been flexible, we've been flexible, we're working through this together, and we will tackle 21, whatever comes, with God's help. He is our strength. So thank you for being with us today. Thanks for joining us in our living room, and I hope you have a great day, a great week. And we're just going to kind of sing through one more song to wrap it up, and you guys have a great time, a great week. Have a great day.